The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I sincerely want to welcome you to this second service this morning. We are grateful to God for His grace and for His love that has kept us and has continued to sustain us. And I know that everyone here will enjoy last-minute divine lifting in the name of Jesus. Today is a double-barrel service. It's our family intervention service. It also doubles as our marital settlement service. In this church, there will be commotion of weddings this year in the name of Jesus. In your family, there will be several weddings this year, 2021, in the name of Jesus. The siege and the yoke of marital delay is broken. I'm broken totally in Jesus' name. Let me hear somebody say amen. Well, I'll be speaking on Assessing Family Divine Lifting Part 2. Assessing Family Divine Lifting Part 2. And I said in the first service that the concept of marriage is of God. God is the one that instituted marriage and family. He wanted us to have loved ones. He wanted us to have people that we can call our direct family members. He did not want to leave us alone. He did not want us to be lonely. And so he brought in the concept of family and the concept of marriage. Some of the reasons why God instituted marriage, number one, is for His glory. God instituted marriage so that He can be glorified. Because marriage brings God glory. Your family brings God. For you to have a family brings God glory. Number two, family is for mutual relationship and friendship. That's why the man has to leave his father and mother, according to Matthew chapter 19, verse 5. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall become one. God wants the family to be in place, and He wants the family to enjoy mutual relationship and friendship. Number three, also, marriage is instituted and family is instituted to bring about the fulfillment of certain longings. When you get to a particular age in life, as a person, as a human being, you begin some feelings you didn't have before you begin to have it. And then God now brings marriage in place to make that longing fulfilled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 9, particularly, the Bible says, it is better to marry than to burn. It's better to marry than to burn. And so when you get married, it provides an avenue for you to be able to exercise that longing. If you don't like having sexual in relationship, if it's not something you want to do in life, then it's better not to get married, because that is part of what marriage is all about. Number four, reasons why God instituted marriage is that marriage is instituted for procreation. Someone say procreation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, it says, be ye fruitful and multiply. So one of the reasons why God created marriage is for procreation, to have children. That's one of the reasons why God created marriage, for you to be fruitful and to multiply. Marriage provides an avenue for fruitfulness. The Bible is speaking in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, that the man and his wife were naked and they were not ashamed. What do you think they were? When they were naked, what do you think they were doing? Your guess is as good as mine. They were naked and they were not ashamed. So that is part of the reason why God created marriage, to bring about children. Everyone here and those who are listening to me will have good children in Jesus' name. Say louder, amen. Amen. Say louder, amen. Amen. Well, we'll go straight into the second service. Also, marriage is a medium for showing kindness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving one another. marriage is an avenue to exhibit your kindness. You are a very kind person. So marriage provides an avenue for you to show your kindness, to exercise and display your kindness. That's one of the reasons why God gives us marriage. You are very kind as a person, but there's some kindness you cannot show to anybody else except your spouse. And marriage provides that avenue to show and display your kindness. And of course, marriage is to make us better. Family is to make us better and not bitter. Marriage is to make us, and family is to make us a better person and not a bitter person. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Somebody say a big amen. So, amongst other things, those are some of the reasons why God brings family together. And all these reasons is to lift you, to bring you out of the merry clay, to set your family above and not beneath. Get ready. In 2021, God will reclass your family. In accounting, there's something we call account reclassification. You can reclassify an account. You can reclassify an account from a particular class to another class of accounts. So God can reclassify a family. He can move you from a particular low-level class to a higher-level class. He can move you from a substandard class to a higher class. He can move you from what we call in accounting, he can move you from petty accounting class to petroleum tax class. That's the multi-billion dollar class. He can move you from a class of petty cash of 1,000, 2,000 to higher level class. Get set. It is happening in your life today. It is happening in your life today. If you believe it, let your amen show it. Well, ways for family lifting, I said earlier on, number one is building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for every foundation can no man build other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate foundation. I might not be able to go through that deeply. I will advise you to please get the CD of the first service. It will bless you a lot. Secondly, I said way to divine lifting is to be ready to fight for your family. Be ready to fight for your family. Anyone that wants his family to be lifted must be ready to fight. The Bible says we should fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Anyone that will enjoy breakthrough must be ready to go through, pass through. If you are going to enjoy breakthrough, you must be ready to go through, pass through. You must be able to pass through something to get to breakthrough. Nobody just gets to breakthrough like that. Your breakthrough is what brings, your pass through is what brings you into the realm of breakthrough. Somebody's family will break through here. Often when people come to us for prayers on various matters in the family, we just smile and they wonder, this very serious issue. You are so calm. I'm so calm because I know you are passing through something. But it will soon lead to your breakthrough. You are going through challenges, but it will soon lead to your testimony. Somebody say amen. Well, you are passing through something now. I welcome you to the club of those that will soon break through. If you are not passing through anything or you have never passed through anything, I pity you. It shows the devil doesn't care about you. But if you have passed through something or you are passing through something, I congratulate you in advance because it means you will laugh last. I say you will laugh last. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody's morning is here today. I say somebody's morning is here today. Say a louder amen. Number three, way to family lifting is to care and nurture the family. Nothing can grow or be productive or progressive without nurture. Care for your family. You don't really need to say you care for your family. Action speaks louder than voice. Action, what you are doing, is saying things more than what you are saying. I was in a Zoom meeting with some folks about 2 weeks ago, and I was chairing the meeting. And then somebody very far away from here, maybe about 3-4 hours or 5 hours from here, was also in the Zoom meeting. And the person, when I made a comment, the person did his eyes somehow. And I called the person supervising that person. I said, this person said this and this. I didn't hear the voice, but the action, the behavior through the Zoom, I knew. So your action, your facial expression, everything you are doing is saying something about the care of your family. If you want your family lifted, then ensure that you invest in care for them. Number four is knowledge and information. Keep getting knowledge. If you have been married 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years more, don't stop gathering information. Don't grow stale. Don't grow stale. Women here, don't grow stale. Don't become old school to your husband so fast. Get information. Information is what leads to transformation. Get information. Times are changing. Things are improving. Information is very, very important. Buy books. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth. Get books and materials on marriage. We've written a book here on marriage. Many here that have not even seen the book, except when we show it on the altar here. If you get to the bookshop, you will see it there. If you really want to be lifted in your family, then you must get more information on what it takes. Don't run your family the way your parents ran their own. That was in 1946. This is 2021. Time have changed. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Get information on children, nurturing. How to train teenagers, how to teach them what to do, how to train a girl child, how to train a boy child. All this will help a lot. And of course, walk in agreement. Walk in agreement. I spoke extensively about this in the first service. But in this service also, I want to tell us more ways to your family lifting. Number six is be a giving family. A stingy family cannot be lifted. Luke 6 verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. If you want your family lifted, especially financially, there are some women, they are the ones that are making their husbands poor. How? Anytime the husband wants to give, they will stop him. Anytime the husband wants to do something, they will say no. Even if it's for their own parents. Even if it's for our own parents. What's it for you? Giving is in levels. There are some people, your level presently is to give people 5,000. That's your level. There are some people here, your level is to give people 50,000. There are some people here, your level is to give people 100,000. Giving is in levels. So you have to give your level per time. If you want your family lifted, never, as a spouse, stop your husband from being a blessing to anybody. Never do it. As a wife, never stop your husband from giving to anybody. as a husband, never tell your wife, don't do it. Don't give to this person. Do you know one thing I've thought about giving? Devil will never tell you to give somebody something. Devil will never tell you to give somebody something. It's always God that will tell you. Devil will tell you, don't hold it back. Keep it. Keep it. Spend it alone. Eat it alone. Don't bother to be a blessing to your family members. Don't bother to assist anybody. It will now show you many reasons why you should not assist the person. Recently, somebody quite close to me called me, a friend of mine, and said he needed some assistance. And I just saw him not too long, just this, almost like a week or two before, repainting his whole house, decorating his whole house, making it, got painters to touch it up, and he said, now said he doesn't have money, that he needs some money. Firstly, something came to my mind, that even me, I've not repainted my house. You are repainting your own house, touching it up. Now you say, my child is going back to school, I don't have money. But something told me, he said, that is his own understanding. Whatever you have to be a blessing to him, still go ahead and do it. And I said, okay, Lord. It is the devil that will tell you, don't do it. Don't give somebody something. At your level, your prayer should be that your family should build a whole house for somebody. At your level, your prayer should be that in a year, you can count at least 12 people that were blessed with a machine called cars through your family directly. Your prayer should be that at your level, you buy ticket for somebody, you get visa for the person, you send them abroad, including your parents. Don't ever, it is thinking small to be thinking stingy. It's thinking small. It's a small boy's thinking. I used to have somebody in our family. I don't want to go into details. He's still alive, so anybody can be watching us because we are all over the world and people are watching us right now. When the person wants to give you money, he will bring it out. Let me bring out a currency now. He will bring it out and he will do like this. That is to be sure that it doesn't stick together. How come it's just one? As if the thing should just... If you don't want to give the person something, don't bother to give. The way to your family lifting is to give and give and give. Giving is living. And you give your level. So don't say, somebody gave 1 million. That is that person's level. Your own level, it's whatever it is. That is how your family will be enlarged. That's how your family will be enlarged. That's how the blessing of God will come upon you like never before. You just gave somebody something small. God gives you something bigger somewhere. And the Bible says that God does not only like givers, it must be a cheerful giver. You give it excited, not they're even disturbing me. You should be happy they are disturbing you. Every giving family will eventually be a lifted family. So, if your husband collects his income, ask him, have you given God's part to him? You are helping him to be in covenant with God so that his life can change to a new level. But when you bring bill of bone straights to him first, you bring bill of high heels to him first, you bring bill of humongous bill to him first, he will not even think of tithing, he will not think of giving, he will not think of other proper giving that is necessary. Don't stop. Within the confines of what God has given to you, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, just do it. And you will see your life changing from level to level in the name of Jesus. I say you'll be seeing your life changing from level to level in the name of Jesus. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. People always think that when you give, it reduces you. It's not true. giving lifts you. Because you sow here on earth, in heaven, heaven acknowledges what you are doing. As from today, the windows of heaven shall be open to your family. I said the windows of heaven shall be open to your family. Note it. Also, I haven't spoken about giving. Don't use that as a form of exploitation. Don't, because I've spoken about giving, now you go to somebody's car, say, Pastor just spoke about giving, please, can you give me something? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should be the one giving to people. Not that you go and meet somebody after the service. You need to hear the points that Pastor gave today. In fact, point number six that he gave today is give. So, what do you have for me? No. It has never crossed my mind before what you will give to me. Never. It has never crossed my mind before that. What will this person give to me? It has never crossed my mind before that. If I fast for these next few days and I pray for the people, what will they now give to me? It has never crossed my mind. I just do the work. Excitedly. Ever excitedly. And I'm blessed. And the blessing of the Lord will speak for you in Jesus' name. Number seven. How can your family be lifted? Remain thankful and grateful. Remain thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye grateful. Everyone family that will be lifted must be a grateful family. Ever thankful to God for all he has done. Let your family be thankful. That's why some time ago I spoke about, I think maybe last month or upper month, I spoke about family altar. That's why it's so important, because family altar gives you an avenue to clap and to thank God. You thank God for everything, for the food in the morning, afternoon, and night. Some of us, like we heard in the testimony today, that some people even eat more than three times. Whatever it is, if it is two, if it is three, if it is four, just thank God. Just thank God. Be grateful so that you are not a grateful. Always be grateful. Let your family identify what God has done. Is it your children? Is it your husband? Is it Johnny Messi's? Look at that wonderful daughter of God. Said thieves came to a room in front of her, but never get to her own. What happened? Divine protection. They collected phone, maybe laptop, maybe all these things, but never entered her room. That's gratitude to God. If you want lifting, let your gratitude always go to heaven. Many of you, heaven doesn't know your voice in thanksgiving. That's why in prayer too, when you pray, they say, who is disturbing us? We don't know you. If everyone knows your voice in the place of praise, they will answer you in the place of prayer. If everyone knows your voice in the place of thanksgiving, Father, I thank you. Thank you so much. Who am I to even be here? Who am I to even have a husband? Who am I to even have children? Who am I to even have a job? Who am I to even be alive? One of our wonderful doctors here called me some days ago, a medical doctor, said in a particular department in UITH, almost more than 70% of the consultants there are sick. So they were supposed to do surgery. They cannot, because they themselves are sick. But you are not a consultant. But you are consulting God. And he's helping you. Doesn't it deserve to be praised? Don't ever, ever let murmuring come out of your mouth. Don't ever. Just look at everything God. If you want to murmur like this, no, I must not murmur. I remember he has done this. I remember he has done this. I remember he has done this. He healed my child. He gave my father Johnny Messi's. He gave me admission. He helped me. Just be thinking of everything he has done. You will see that you'll be going up. You'll be going up. You'll be going up. What a place where the husband and wife will be in the bedroom and sit down and say, my dear, can't you see that things are very, very tough? The other one says, things are very, very tough. Nigeria is very, very bad. Things have gone worse now. Things are very, very tough. In fact, very soon now, it will be difficult for us to feed you. As they are saying it, they will say, hey, okay, be saying it, continue. But when you thank God for the little, it becomes much. That will be your testimony from today. I say that will be your testimony from today. In the first service, I also broke the service into two. I spoke to the married, and I also spoke to the singles. And I spoke to us extensively in the first service on what women want in a man. How many of us were in that service? All right, can we do a brief rundown of what I spoke about? Number one is what? Number two. Number three. Number four. What a woman wants in a man. He wants a man that loves God and loves her. He wants a man that respects her, not a bully slapping her, either with words or with hand. She doesn't appreciate that. Trying to make her look inferior to others. No, no woman wants that. She has her dignity. She has her pride. She's somebody's daughter. Number three, of course, she wants a man that can provide. A hardworking person who can provide. Even if a woman is very rich, she still wants you to drop something. She still wants you to give her something. That's what shows you are the head. And of course, she wants you to be faithful. But in this second service, I'll be giving us or showing us by God's grace and privilege what men want in a woman. All women here, are you ready? Number one is submission. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. And of course, Ephesians 5 verse 31. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. So men naturally want a submissive woman. Guys or men don't like bossy people. Single ladies, you must watch it. If you are too aggressive, if you are a fighter, a bossy type, it can affect your marital settlement. If you are the argumentative type, you practice your legal luminary in your house. If your husband says one, you say seven. Or if your fiancé says something, you say 20. He will not be happy. You are pushing him down like that. Nobody is saying you should be a stupid person or somebody who is dull. No. Because men also don't like dull women. But you must be submissive. If you are still single, I'm not saying submissive to the other side, though. That's not what I'm saying. But you must have the character of a submissive lady. Don't be a fighting person. Don't have a fighting spirit that fights everything. Proverbs 21 verse 19. Proverbs 21 verse 19. It is better to live in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 21 verse 19. It is better to live in the wilderness than with a contentious person. It's a person who is very argumentative, argues over everything, wants to fight over everything. Always ready to fight. If you do that, it can affect. And that's why sometimes some guys date some people and before they just say, I'm not doing it. Just send a text. My mommy said she doesn't like it. It's not the mommy, it's mommy that said it. He's the one that said it. His mommy did not say anything. He said it. He just used his mommy to cover up. So you have to have that submissive nature. Don't seek to win an argument with a man. If you seek to win an argument with a man, you can lose him. You can win the argument, but you will lose the man. You can win the argument, and the argument will be perfect. You are the one right, yes, but he will not want to do anything with you again. So let that submissive spirit be in you. If you are still single, let the guy see the character in you that when you eventually get married, because what you are doing now as a single person is what will transfer into marriage. There's nothing different that when you get married, you now become a different person. No. is the same person that is being displayed now that will be displayed during marriage. The yoke of delay in somebody's life is broken this morning in the name of Jesus. For every woman here today, the grace to submit to your husband, receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. If go and ask married men, does any married man want any woman that will give him problem in terms of contention? They will tell you never. Because if a man has been bossed around at work, he doesn't need a bossy woman at home. If a man has been boxed to a corner at work, his boss has given him directive. My friend, go to Tipa Garage, do this for me. From Tipa Garage, go to airport. After you finish airport, go to university. After university, you come back to the office. When you rest 10 minutes, he doesn't want to again come to the house again and he's being bossed around. He doesn't want that. He wants some level of peace of mind. He wants some level of comfort. And it's only a submissive woman that can do that. May the Lord give us understanding. Number two, what men want in woman is a supportive woman. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Helpmeet means supportive person. If you want to get married fast, then the person you are dating must see that you are a supportive person to his vision. Anything God has placed in the man's heart to do, you have to be there to support. If you are in dissonance with what is life vision, mandate, and what is trusting God to achieve, if you don't, are not interested, he might not want to marry you. So you must be supportive. That's why if you see a man and what he's doing, you are not really the kind of person that wants to do such, it might not go well. Eventually, he might want to go to somebody else. Be ready to support him to the last. Support his aspirations. You must be his greatest cheerleader. You cheer him up. I read a book of the pastor with the biggest church in the world. And he said his wife was, his name is Paul Yonggi Cho. His wife was one of the greatest supporters of his ministry. Be cheering him. When he comes back and he feels he did not preach well, the woman will say, you preach so well today. Your message, and he'll be wondering, this same message that I preached, that is not okay. Be cheering. Support him. I listened to a message also. This was many years ago. By the wife of Bishop Abioye. And what he was saying, I was just cheering the husband, cheering him, cheering. That's how to do it. If you talk him down and you are not supporting him during courtship, he might not really see the reason why you should move further. That's why you must trust God to connect you with the right person, such that what he's doing, you are in support. What is the things God has placed in his heart to do for God and with God and his own life, you are there to support him. No man wants. Why do you think some men have girlfriends? Because the wife doesn't support, and then they have a secretary who is always supportive. Very supportive. We support everything the man wants to do. But the wife, who knows, if the man wants to do 10 things, 9.5, she will say, no, I don't agree. I don't agree. And then, you know, men just look strong. Men are not as strong as you think they are. Men need support. Men need to be cheered. So you have to be a supportive woman, a supportive lady. You support the person's vision. You support his aspiration. You support the things, anything he loves, you should love it. Anything God has placed in his heart to do, support. When my wife and I got married, even before marriage, the issue of ministry never even came up because I never wanted to be a minister. I told you the story last week or so, or Wednesday. But when the issue of ministry came, she said, She went to, because she knows what ministry entails. And in her words, she said, I went to God to pray, and God told me that I'm the one sending this man. And that was all. The support is unequivocal. It's phenomenal. The push is there. Don't stop. Keep at it. Keep at it. It will work out. That's how to do it. You must keep supporting your spouse. And it's not because we are privileged to be senior pastors here. We were pastors before this ministry started. It was the same thing. The phenomenal support. Very brutal support. And in all our other lines of life, it's the same thing. So you will not want to disappoint a woman like that. So keep at it as a man, as a woman. That small business your husband is doing, support him. Don't talk him down. That little thing he's doing, just keep cheering him. God will do it. God will help. When he's down, speak good words to him. You know, your words are sweeter than honey. You know what I'm talking about. May the Lord give us understanding. May the Lord give us understanding. Number three. What men want in a woman. Number one is what? Number two. Number three. Do you want to hear this number three? Look good always. I didn't want to say look attractive, because that attractive looks somehow. I didn't want to say look attractive, but look good always. As a young CC, don't be looking. I don't understand. Look good. I didn't say you should open your body. Oh. I didn't say you should look seductive. Oh. That's not what I'm saying. I didn't say you should be walking and then all kinds of men are now packing and telling you. You know, one of my daughters, she's here now, came to me one day and said, Daddy, I want to ask you something. Lately, if I'm walking on the road, men will just be parking and telling me to enter a car. I laughed. Enter their car. I laughed. And I gave her advice on what to do. Because sometimes when unbelievers and all kinds of people are also talking to you, it's a sign that something is wrong somewhere. But look attractive. Look good. Let me tell you the truth. Men like good packaging. Are you listening to me now? Men, because men, these eyes, is working very well. Are you listening to me now? I'm telling you the truth. Do you want to hear the truth? Maybe I should not tell you the truth. Men like to see something good. They are attracted by physical look. So look good. Look, you don't have to use hair of 200,000 before your hair will look neat. You don't have to wear clothes that you bought in a designer shop before you look, but look neat. Look good. Look great. Wear things that fit you. That will look good on you. That's how to do it. So that you remain attractive to your husband if you are married, and then you remain attractive to your spouse. You must dress well. Not that you look somehow and then your spouse wants to introduce you in a meeting and is introducing you from afar. No. It's necessary for you to look good. Oh, at the other side, if you now look somehow, it also makes Christian guys to drop girls. If your dressing doesn't conform to his belief system, if your dressing doesn't conform to what he believes, he will just, this person cannot go along with my lifestyle. Let me tell you something. If you are a sensible woman, which I believe everybody here is, including those who are watching me, let me tell you how to do it. When you are going out, dress neat and dress. But when you are inside the house, you can tantalize your husband to any level. You can do anything. If you like, dress, don't even wear any clothes. Maybe you are in your own house and you are married. If you like, you wear bum shorts. If you like, you wear anything you like in your, if it's your own house. But when you are going out, You must, because no man wants to be, make his wife a public show for everybody that, but no man likes that. Only unbelievers guys like that, and they only like it for pleasure, but they don't like it for as a man, as their own wife at home. No. If any man deceives you that is a lie, no man wants you to dress in a way that you are causing problem on the street and you are his wife in his house. And he carried yam, maybe 40 tubers or 60 tubers to your house. And then, no, you will not like it. He has paid a lot of price for that. So, but in your own house, make sure that he cannot, when he finishes work like this, he will press his accelerator going home. Because his mind is on you. May the Lord give us understanding. Always look good, look attractive. Don't be excessive. Don't be excessive in anything you are doing. Be moderate in whatever you are doing. You know, but as a single lady, have a reputation that you dress well. Have a reputation that you are not dressing like a, I don't want to call you. You know what I'm talking about. No, don't do that. Whereby all sorts of people will now, guys talk a lot. They talk among themselves. No man will marry you without talking to about his friends about you first. No man will marry you without talking to his friends first. That's why you cannot be dating this. Because as you are dating this, they will say it and they will say that we're all in the clubs together before. So they will say it. Man doesn't know that something is, they shouldn't say. They will say, once they are together, they will say it. So dress well. So before they will marry you, they would have said it. That lady, she's a decent lady. Marriageable material or whatever you call it. She's a good lady. But if it's the other way, you don't care about your dressing, you do this, they see you outside at night, you go out, you go to a club, you do this and that, they will download it to the man. And then you begin to call him, you see him, he will be slipping away. He will not want to have anything to do with you again because he believes that you are not working in line with his, with the way he wants things done. Well, time is up. It's already time. Let me just give you one more point and then we will go to pray. What men want in a woman? Number one is what? Number two, be supportive. Number three, look good always. Number four is good food. What did I say? And this one, I want to come down to talk to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men like single ladies. All this one that you are always talking of, item 7, this, you know, which other eatery now? Bukati. Chaco. Yeah, Yusuf. Which one? Open now. Buka. All this one, you are talking about all kinds of places. The guy is already thinking that that's where his salary will end. The guy is already thinking, all this lady is thinking about is how to go to all these eateries. It means that our dining table will be in all these places when we get married. Be a homely person. How come you cannot? I'm not saying you shouldn't go out, but be a homely. So you can't cook or what? Everything, you want to eat it outside. You want to eat shawarma. You want to eat pomo outside. You want to eat you can't cook. How? So when he comes back from work, he will now start thinking of how to go out to buy fried yam. Because you can, what kind of? You must understand men. They say sometimes the stomach, to get to the heart of a man, you have to pass through his stomach. A lot of the women that they have snatched their husband, it is through food. Because men love food. So don't allow somebody to take your fiancé because you cannot cook anything. You have never told, him that I did this nice food though, and I package it for you. You can take it to work. You know, just something to show that you can. Just not. You've never done anything that is special that is called cooking. He will not be happy because his stomach is hungry. His stomach is hungry. And once a man is hungry, he's angry. Once a man is what? Hungry and what? Angry. So as a lady, you must cultivate. Mothers here, teach your children how to cook. One of our wonderful, one of the daughters here many years ago in this church, many years ago, told me something. She said she doesn't like cooking. That her husband must be very rich, very very rich. That she must have different maids. It's not right. A lady must know how to cook. A lady must know how to cook. A lady must know how to. If you don't know how to cook, once the guy knows that you are not a homely person, you don't like cooking, you don't like entering kitchen, you will see. He will just find a way to withdraw small because his stomach is very important to him. So as a lady, always, even you don't need to cook, even before knowing a guy or before you have a fiancé, be a person that just loves to cook. Maybe you're already getting ready for marriage. You're already preparing yourself for marriage. Be preparing delicacy for the man that is coming. Be preparing it in advance. You can even cook it yourself. Set your own, set his own in faith. Be preparing yourself. But when every time they see you buying fish, you put garri with it as a lady, you are drinking garri. Some ladies, all their money, their salary goes to food in the environment where they work. They don't carry any food because they don't wake up early. And you know Proverbs 31 woman? Proverbs 31 woman, one of the things about a Proverbs 31 woman is that she wakes up early and provides for her house. Begin to prepare now. Learn to wake up early. You are collecting 50,000. You use 37,000 of it to Captain Cook. How do you want to survive? A man, there's no man that will say he doesn't like food. The man doesn't exist. So prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. There are many more points, but time is up. My prayer for you today is that nobody here will suffer delay in marriage in the name of Jesus. Nobody here will suffer delay in marriage in the name of Jesus. In recent times, one of the prayers I've been praying very seriously is for those who are due for marriage in all our churches to get married. It has been one of my major prayers. My wife was telling me some days ago, one of our members in one of the churches who were trusting God to get married, you know, to be reestablished. She had some little issues and, you know, she was trusting God for, God has done it for her. She will soon get married now. So God can do anything. God can settle anybody. God can change your levels. But there are some principles that guide it amongst other things. My prayer is that everyone here that is due to be settled in marriage is miraculously settled. Everyone here, both yourself and your acquaintances, your cousins, your brothers and your sisters due for marriage shall be miraculously married. Say a louder amen. The spell and the yoke is hereby broken. Your amen is not born again. The spell and the yoke of delay is hereby broken. And every family here that is facing any form of challenge from the wicked, that spell is broken today. I say that spell is broken today. I declare peace to your family. I declare progress to your family. I declare success to your family. I declare wealth and abundance to your family. Your family will never lack. Your family will never lack. Your family will never lack. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.